We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Tom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
It is Dom time. Welcome in. You know, one of the burgeoning issues we hear all the time. We have a guy that's so centered on this, that studies it, writes about it in a compelling way, is the socialism stuff. Because he's both a professor, he is a professor of agriculture and applied economics at the University of Georgia, Dr. Jeffrey Dorfman. And he's also a guy who analyzes the big picture. I was moved by this piece that I saw of his. His most recent book is an e-book, Ending the Era of the Free Lunch. You can follow him on Twitter, at Dorfman Jeffrey. And the title of it is, Sorry, Bernie Bros, but Nordic countries are not socialist. Now, this is one of the top two or three things that you'll hear over and over again. Some of it's the labeling. I'm not a socialist. I'm a democratic socialist or a socialist democrat. And two, oh no, not Venezuela. That's not a socialist country. Not Cuba. It's Sweden, Norway, Finland, Denmark. That's what we want to be. Those are so much better than the United States. Are those really socialist? And what's the definition of that? And this AOC bloomlet, the Green New Deal, is that socialism or is it just kind of, yeah, and nutbag at the same time? All right, Dr. Jeffrey's with us here with Dom in Philadelphia. Hey, doctor, I love your stuff. Thank you for taking time to join us today.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Well, let me ask you, as a college professor first, I'm not sure how many classes you teach. I know you do research and a lot of writing and consultation. Is it that just we've had generations of this where socialism is just another word? It doesn't seem to reverberate that we're into something different than just maybe big government, at least with college students.
Yes, I completely agree with that. There seems to be a movement by a lot of people to use the word socialism or socialist to cover things that are not what that word means.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's to repackage it as sort of a kinder, softer, more friendly socialism, you know, whether it's to get a foot in the door before unveiling real socialism, I don't know. But it kind of annoys me when people use words in a way that's not what those words mean.
Yeah, so the thing with socialism to me is not so much the spending and all that. It's a government control of key industries and the authoritarianism that comes with that.
That's what the word is supposed to mean.
So, yeah, I think you're right, too. Maybe you're flummoxed. I don't understand why the other side now would be dancing with this when they may be able to just stay with big government or something like that. Well, why are they doing it?
Assumably, it is because the word polls well with focus groups, that they've tested this and that people like it, particularly young people like it. I mean, politicians don't use a lot of words by accident.
Mm-hmm.
So when they're all using that word, everybody on the left, it's telling us that their pollsters tell them it's a good word to use.
Now, what would you say to some people who say, well, look, we already have all these elements. I'm getting your drift now. They go something like this. Well, every time we ask people, they like Social Security or they like social something. So what's so wrong with the word? In other words, they keep on saying elements of it the American people love by polling. Why would we blanch at using the word?
Yeah, and I think it is useful to think of that as a way to get the foot in the door, that if they can convince people that Medicare is socialism or Social Security is socialism,
right,
then they can get people to sign up for real socialism, and which we won't like, but there may not be any going back from.
Mm-hmm. So what are your thoughts? You're watching AOC roll this out, the unfortunate lines, I think, on her side. We're going to give economic security to those that are unable or unwilling to work. But what else jumped out at you?
I mean, the thing that jumped out at me is that the Democratic Party rolled out a Green New Deal that wasn't very green. All the things at the top were simply income redistribution or government, you know, free provision of goods and services, free college, universal basic income, jobs guarantee, Medicare for all. None of those things have anything to do with the environment. I get that voters want things green, and I get that a lot of people want to do something about climate change. So if you want a Green New Deal, it seems to me you would focus on greenhouse gases and pollution and things that actually affect the environment, not sort of economic inequality.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That seemed to be its muddle, but they seem to think that's the star. Now, your piece makes, and I've carried this around because it's a good compendium to make what I thought to, but you've actually analyzed it. The Scandinavian countries, by and large, have a lot of free market to them. They're more big government states with free markets, a lot of taxation. But to your point overall, that's not socialism.
No, it's not socialism. So the Nordic countries do is have very strong capitalist economies that let their people get pretty rich, which allows them to tax them a lot of money and make sure that the social safety net is generous. So they can do free or very inexpensive college. They can have generous unemployment benefits and things because there's not that many people taking advantage of the social safety net, and because the people that are working make enough money they can afford to pay those huge sums in taxes.
So what would you say then if they said, all right, we'll give up the socialism here for a moment. We'll actually talk with you, Dr. Dorfman, off the record. And they say, well, why can't we do that here? Why can't we be exactly like these countries?
You know, so I think there are two reasons. One is we're not as culturally homogenous.
Right.
It makes it harder to get people to support redistribution when it's not going to people that are like you. And the second thing is what we call path dependency. So, for example, Medicare for all, according to both liberal and conservative studies, would actually cost less money than our current healthcare system. So it's not more expensive. The trouble is you have to replace all those employer and employee-paid insurance premiums with some system of taxes that send all the money to the government first so they can give everybody the Medicare. And nobody can figure out how to do that in a politically palatable way because a lot of us suspect that we'll end up paying more than we are now.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will end up paying less. But all the people that will end up paying more will oppose this. And so that's what we mean by path dependency. What we did before makes it harder to change direction now.
Do people in these Scandinavian countries, do we see very, very wealthy people? Could you have a billionaire there? Is that impossible?
It is not impossible. There are billionaires in the Nordic countries.
How do they do that, then, with the taxation rate? They squirrel their money in the United States or somewhere
else?
For
example, the founder of IKEA.
Right. Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, that guy definitely should be dying. Yes.
If you found a successful country, even paying high taxes, you can become quite rich. But the funny thing is, they don't have necessarily higher top marginal rates than we do. The way Nordic countries collect more in taxes than the U.S. does is by more heavily taxing the middle class. It's not by more heavily taxing the rich. The U.S. actually collects a larger percentage of taxes from the rich than any other country in the world. What we do that's different than the Nordic countries, and instead of just taking money, we take money from the rich people and we give it to both the poor and the middle class. Nordic countries take money from the rich and the middle class to give to the poor. So the key is we're much more generous with middle-class subsidies and somewhat less generous with subsidies to the poor.
Now, my sense, and I haven't been there, but I plan to go. There's happiness there, but I don't think you mentioned something early on, our culture and all that. I think this happiness is just not an American form of happiness. In other words, it seems to be stultified, in my view. I don't think I'd be comfortable there. I haven't been raised in that. I can't say they're unhappy. I don't think that. Do you have a sense of that?
Well, I mean, people do publish these sort of happiness rankings,
right,
and the Nordic countries tend to do very well. But you can't actually do any science with those things.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way to get around sort of cultural biases where by this point, the people who live in those Nordic countries know they're supposed to say they're happy because they've always ranked well in those indices. So we can't tell when they say they're an 8 and an American says they're a 5.
Mm-hmm.
They could be describing exactly the same thing. There's nothing that forces them to be on the same scale. And so really all these comparisons of happiness across country are just silly sort of clickbait stories.
Now, your book is still available, Ending the Era of the Free Lunch?
You can definitely still buy it on Amazon anytime you want.
Good, good. And Venezuela now. I see Venezuela as authoritarian, but I think, you know, that's what happens when in certain countries where with Scandinavia, again, you mentioned the how homogeneous it is. Countries that have been unstable before, even with great natural resources, if they do what Chavez does, it ends up with authoritarianism and need. They're not good central planners. I mean, they're just not.
Sure. I mean, Hayek said this many, many years ago, that the problem with having government run everything is then government needs to know everything.
Right.
And it's impossible for government to know everything. Nobody can do things as well as a free market can on its own in terms of figuring out what people want and supplying it to them. And I think you're also right, there is a tendency when you give people enough power to run everything that they seem to become dictators and decide that while they're running everything, it would be nice if they stole a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, exactly right. How much does utopian yearning and rhetoric and all, I mean, I follow politicians and I see it, you're more economics, but utopianism seems to play a large role in where some of this stuff is going, even if it's not pure socialism.
Oh, definitely. There's a huge tendency to believe that, for example, simply passing legislation means you have solved a problem.
Right.
When in actuality, we have to wait for implementation and see whether you actually get the intended consequences or, as probably happens more often, you get unintended consequences. Perfect example would be the movement to ban the box, which was to get job applications to stop asking people mm-hmm. if they were convicted felons. And it turns out that when we stop people from asking that question, they actually discriminate against African-American men more than they were before. Because if they can't ask them the question, they'll just decide maybe they're all criminals and we won't interview any of them. And so it sounded like a good thing to do. It was done with the best of intentions, and it's actually making people's lives worse than it was before.
The dreaded unintended consequences. That's what comes with a lot of this. Hey, it's great to have you on. I do admire your work. And again, the book, the ebook available, Ending the Era of Free Lunch on Amazon. Doctor, thank you. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I enjoyed it.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.